Welcome to Radio Kitchen, I'm Al Spohler. One of the best things about being a hungry American is that we tend to keep a very open mind when it comes to sourcing our recipes. In many respects, the whole world's our oyster, and we can explore far and wide for ideas on how to feed our families. And Chef Jerry Pellegrino of Scola Cooking School, you've started focusing on one of the more exotic cuisines in the world.
I've become kind of fascinated with the cuisine of Thailand.
Wow, very
good. Yeah, and it's taken me way out of my comfort zone, which is always a good thing when you're trying to learn new and something that's interesting. But it's very different. I mean, growing up with sort of the traditional European model of cooking, Thai is a very different beast altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Ingredient-wise, their lexicon obviously is completely different than ours. Just in the simple sort of world of taste, you know, salt to them is not traditional as we think of salt.
No kidding.
Salt is fish sauce.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they use, and it's ubiquitous in almost every recipe as the salt component,
mm-hmm.
and ubiquitous on the table if you want to add more salt to your food. In terms of acid, we always use vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of our standard to add acid to a dish. They rely heavily on tamarind, tamarind juice specifically often,
uh-huh.
and a little bit on lime, but tamarind is their major acid component, which is interesting.
That is interesting.
And then sweet, they don't use cane sugar or processed sugar, although they do now, but traditionally it would be palm sugar. The sap of coconut trees, the palm, that's boiled down as we boil down like maple syrup.
Uh-huh.
But that's their traditional sweetening additive. And what's interesting about that is just as maple syrup, it has a very interesting earthy, complex taste, unlike processed sugar. So those three things are their basis. And then, of course, the ingredients that they use, ginger, obviously very important to them, but also this similar root called galangal. And
mm-hmm.
they often describe it as the yin and yang, where ginger has this spice, galangal has this mellowness. But they look very similar, but they taste very different.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, cilantro, but they often use the roots of the plant, cilantro root, which is a little more mild than actually sort of the leaf.
Right.
Chili peppers, obviously, a plethora of them. Although those came much later, they weren't really part of Thai cuisine until the Portuguese got involved,
mm-hmm.
As they discovered different ingredients from there. And then rice, obviously, is sort of their focus. And jasmine rice is what they use most often as the accompaniment. The other thing that they don't do is they don't use stocks, as we always use
of
a stock to start every dish.
Right.
They rely on pastes. And they have this very traditional mortar and pestle. It's columnar in shape,
mm-hmm.
with a very long, soft pestle. And they pound things like shrimp paste with white peppercorn, celery root, cilantro root, chili peppers, and this paste just goes into a pot of water or into the wok to start dishes.
The big question is, can we adopt these things to Western kitchens?
Yes, and we've been trying really hard. There's a great book by one of the great chefs in Thailand called McDang, The Principles of Thai Cookery. It's one, if you just want to get into it, pick it up, because I think it's got great examples of how things are very different from what we do.
Let's put a few ideas about Thai cooking on the web and let
people
go.
Some simple recipes would be fun.
That would be fun.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Jerry. I'm very excited about that. I'm Al Spohler.
And I'm Jerry Pellegrino.
And you've been listening to Radio Kitchen on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.